Is it working, Mr. Krabs? I'm still mad at you for what you did. I was on the phone and she comes up behind me and farts and goes, "Do you smell it now, Mr. Krabs?" And I had to go, because I laughed. I had to play it off like a sneeze. Oh, I hated that.
Speaking of fart humor, do you remember the one time I had a lotion?
It was the lotion that Ashley got us
for Christmas, and I went to go like squirt it into my hand in the middle of a call, and it went.
You can actually hear it in the recording.
And I made Ashley listen to the phone call, and she's like cracking up. She's like, "Come here and listen." And we listened to it like 15 times, like the little like. That's the second time has, like, exploded in front of... The second time was a hand sanitizer.
That was dangerous.
That could have gotten someone's eye.
That
could have been... Don't leave hand sanitizer in your car.
Your hot, hot
or,
car.
Or, if you do, don't open it towards your face. Because I have a giant bottle of hand sanitizer in my car, which, now that I think about it, probably, like, ruins its, like...
Yeah, I feel like the heat would kill it, maybe.
You know what? I'm just playing... I'm just risking it all at this point. But I opened it. Also, this was right after I got an ice cream sundae, and I opened it, and it went all over me. It was like,
it went everywhere.
It was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got scared. I was like, what if that would have went in my eye? I would have lost my vision. You can talk.
Contribute.
You can contribute. We might not be able to hear you.
I was listening.
I know, but we might not be able to hear you on here, but we can still pretend.
Yes. Come closer, my child.
Or don't, or you can just hang out there, it's fine. You look comfy.
I'm
not. Alright, so, hello.
Hello. This is Shelby.
And this is Chrissy.
And that's Ashley.
Ashley's here. I don't know if you can hear her, but she said hi. You know, today was a week.
I kept thinking it was Wednesday and it wasn't, so I feel that.
I don't know why I said that.
But it's true.
Mm-hmm. And it feels right.
Yeah.
So, today was a week. It was a bad day. I had a mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad for the nurse that had to listen to me have the mental breakdown. It's fine. I see my psychiatrist tomorrow. I am my therapist. Honestly. And I'm going to the chiropractor, so I'm going to walk out tomorrow like a brand new woman, and it's fine.
They've heard worse.
I had to my psychiatrist tomorrow, too.
Oh.
I see her, I think, in, like, 2 months.
I'm almost out of my meds, so it's a good time.
I had a mom call in today. She said, "My son says his throat hurts," and I looked in there, and it looks like his tonsils are growing teeth.
Those are tonsil stones.
And I was like...
Pop them out, it's real
fun. I was like, I bet those are tonsil stones, but she sounded, like, super scared. I'm like, I wish I could just tell you what they are, but I can't.
Maddie gets tonsil stones all the time.
They make your
and they stink so bad. I've never had one. Mm-mm. But I like watching videos of people.
Yeah.
I also like watching pimple popping videos. So I'm
I like pore strips. They're like,
that's just satisfying.
It is.
I love a good blackhead.
There was one where she had like a giant one like in her ear.
Dude, I had a
like the port of Weiner.
Yeah, they like really get at it.
You said that word. And I was like, wine? Wine slushy?
Beverages? Yes.
I had a real good wine slushy, like, was that 2 weeks ago?
Mm.
So good.
Peach
flavored.
There's, it was like the beer festival or something they have at Talleyrand every year in the summer.
They have a beer festival at Talleyrand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they sell the wine slushies, and that's where I got my first one. I got peach as well.
I've lived in Bellefonte my entire life.
Rachel takes me every year.
I also don't like beer, so
they have other things.
They have the wine slushies.
I love the one you got trashed at with Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you're also, did you get sunburned? You burn easily.
Let's not, you want to talk about her last year when she got real burnt And I had to put
a wedding?
No.
Yeah, they're working for the wedding.
No,
they
but
second degree but sunburn.
The one last year.
Wasn't that before the wedding?
No.
Oh, that was last married?
2 years.
Oh damn.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I you had know. To peel her?
That was one where I had to put cold washcloths on you. And then you went to the doctor and they couldn't do anything. They said, suck it up.
Put on sunscreen.
Basically.
I got 100 SPF, so we're good.
All right. That's like glue. All right. I don't know if this is recording or not. I can't tell.
I mean, that's making the blue waves.
It's making the blue waves.
ASMR with Chrissy. Gentle scratch.
Shelby has news.
So
sorry about that abrupt break.
So the plea went in for the Golden State Killer, and yes. He pleaded guilty. Apparently it was a plea bargain where he won't get possibility of the death penalty.
Okay.
If he confesses to everything. But like, how can you judge
how
that?
Do you know?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And he's playing, and everyone says he's playing this like frail old man card, and he has to be wheeled around in this wheelchair.
He's
he
like,
doesn't.
What, 70?
Yeah. He's fine.
He was fine when they picked him up.
Exactly, and he's pretending.
But also, I just died. It's fine. Like, you know how, not I'm making an excuse for him, but when Joe Paterno got in trouble for all that shit, mm-hmm. and then he just died because of the stress.
I think that so broke I'm saying, his heart.
I know, yeah. But I'm saying, like, I mean, stress does. And I would assume, I don't know, but I would assume being caught as a serial killer after so many years would be a little bit stressful. So, I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the
doubt. Apparently, though, from good sources, he is faking it.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fine, but it's fine.
Yeah. But so he pleaded guilty, and they had, there's a podcast where she's a lawyer now, but I think it's her dad and her stepmom were killed by him. And now she does a podcast about, like, the aftermath of all of this. And she was at the hearing or whatever it is, the plea submittal, yeah. Whatever. And they had to submit to evidence in front of him that all of his victims said he had a small penis. And at the end, they clapped. That has to be in evidence. I'm sure a picture of this man's micropenis has to be in evidence.
He has a micropenis?
Yes. Everyone says he has
a... He was a cop, wasn't he?
Yeah, everyone says he has a small penis. That was a defining factor.
Micropenis.
That's what I thought.
Side note, not
of that. It's two words.
I don't think it is on there.
We'll have to sort through there and look and see if it's two words. I love going through the cards and just reading them because some of them are so. Ashley has a job now to look through them.
Find the micropenis.
Anyway, so yeah. So I mean, he's faking it. It's okay. Yeah. He's gonna die in prison.
I don't know why the death penalty... I mean, I get why the death penalty was on the table, but, like, he's so old, like, why?
Just let him die in prison.
Yeah. Put him in Gen Pop. See what happens.
Wait, did they just catch him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, a year or so ago? Yeah.
About a year ago, they just caught
him. They caught him because... Yeah,
Golden State Killer.
Yeah, caught him because one of his family members submitted DNA to a genealogy website.
I think it was Ancestry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Yeah, and I think they're catching quite a few that way, which is nice.
Let's see, Golden State Killer. I'm gonna look it up when he was caught because I can't remember. I remember what happened. I just don't know the date.
Oh, and then he blames an alter ego as to why he did those things.
That's
Jerry.
What you've been. Oh, that's a bad. Don't pick that name.
Well, I think his name's Joseph.
Joseph James D'Angelo.
Yeah. So
he was caught. So do you know anything about him, Ashley?
No.
This is not the episode,
but I'm just going to give a brief Wikipedia summary. Joseph James D'Angelo Jr. is an American serial killer, serial rapist, burglar, and former police officer who committed at least 13 murders, more than 50 rapes, and over 100 burglaries in California from 1974 to 1986. And he's a Navy veteran and worked in law enforcement for only 6 years, though.
Yeah.
Apparently he wasn't a very good cop.
No, I think he...
How does one become a rapist with a micropenis?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure it's still...
It's still functional. He has children.
Oh.
Well, we don't know if it's a micro penis or just
it's really... a very small penis.
I mean, to be
fair, like when people went, so the ones who survived that he didn't kill, when they're like, can you it was give anything about
incredibly
him?
Tiny
like,
penis.
He was, because he was very fast, he was very athletic, and they would like describe his voice, and he had a small penis.
He has three daughters.
I feel so bad for them.
He was apprehended April 24th, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. All right. That was our...
One day we'll do a full...
Segue.
That was our segue.
That's a milestone episode.
Yeah.
But that's in the news, so I felt like we had to bring it up. Because crime Twitter is going ham.
Is it?
Yeah.
I haven't been on social media in quite a while.
Gotta get in the tweets.
All right.
Who's going first?
Me.
Is your sad?
No. I mean, it is. But I figured I'd give a trigger warning at the beginning.
Okay.
Trigger warning. There is a lot of suicide in this story.
Ew.
So, bye if that bothers you. Which
you
is
understand.
Fine. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Lemp family. Okay. Which I didn't really know much about them, but there it's a sad, sad story.
Mm.
So, I'll go first. It's not incredibly sad, but I mean,
it's not the happiest.
No, it could be... I end on a good note, though, about animals.
Yay!
So, that's fine. Alright, so the Lemp Mansion is in Benton Park in St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I know the exact address, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Johann? Sebastian Bach.
That's what I was thinking!
But he went by Adam, which is better.
Adam!
He went by Adam Lemp. He was born in 1798 in Germany. He became a naturalized citizen in November of 1841, which he was like 50-ish. For some reason, the jumping from a 17 to an 18 really threw me for a loop. So I was like, that was over 100 years. Then I realized he only had 2 years until it was 1800s.
Wow.
So,
mm-hmm.
Anywho, just kidding. He was 43. He wasn't 50.
Mm.
They settled in St. Louis. Is that how you say it? St. Louis? For some reason, I've read it so many times, it doesn't make sense in my brain.
I think it's like St. Louis, but it's...
But then I keep having to say the St. Louis Cardinals, because that's the only way I can, like...
I know it's right.
Yeah, but then I'm like, I haven't watched baseball in a year.
That's sad for you.
It is real sad for me.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's starting soon. We'll see. They settled in St. Louis in 1838. And then he was listed on, like, the directory as a grocer. So they had, like, a grocery store type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was on 6th and Morgan, and it was called A. Lemp and Company Family Grocery Store. In addition to the typical groceries, he sold his own vinegar and beer.
I was expecting something terribly, terribly worse.
Like what?
I don't know. His own bodily fluids. Like, something weird.
This isn't, like, a weird murder story.
I know, but, like, you know who I am.
No.
You know where my mind goes.
Vinegar and beer.
Okay.
Which are both fermented goods.
Fermented goods and services.
That's a great... I'm gonna make a business.
Named Fermented Goods and Services.
I don't know what I'll sell, but Fermented Goods and Services.
I mean, you can make fermented things, then you could ferment other people's things.
I thought you were saying other people.
That too.
So, in 1840, I guess you didn't have to be a citizen, I guess, to have a business yet, because this was right before he became a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He focused solely on manufacturing the beer. And he formed the Western Brewing Company, and the beer became really popular due to the increase of German population in St. Louis. Mm. And one of the first, it was like one of the first in the country to produce German lagers, which apparently there's a great difference between an English beer and a German lager. I don't know. I don't drink beer.
Ashley?
Do you drink beer?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the beer differences.
She just drinks it for the taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What color is it? Do I like it?
Dark, I think. Okay. I don't know. I think
lager's
dark. I don't know. I'm not a beer person.
Listen, when we had to do drinking games, I drank Lemon Absolute, which tastes like Pledge. I don't do beer.
I love the smell of Pledge.
It's good.
That's better than what I drank. Raspberry Pinnacle, so.
Oh, no.
At least you were somewhat classy with Absolute.
I like Absolute.
College.
Pinnacle Whip.
So, as the business expanded, they needed more room, so there was a cave in St. Louis. So they used this cave as a natural refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
Fancy. Not really, but kind of cool. I mean, kind of cool, because, like,
you caves stuff beer in a cave.
But, I mean, they stay the same temperature all year round, regardless of the outside temperature, so I think that's cool. So next in line was William Lempa Sr., who was Adam's...
I thought you were going to say William Lempicini.
Like... Lemp Sr.
Okay.
Who was Adam's son, and he was born in 1835. He completed his education at St. Louis University and then went to work at the brewing company. Mm-hmm. He remained there until he left to form his own partnership with another brewer, which I feel like probably caused a little bit of animosity, but I don't know.
I feel like that's not cool.
In August 1862, Adam Lemp died. Mm-hmm. And then William returned to the Western Brewing Company as the owner and operator. Hmm. And then in... I don't know what I was writing. I'm guessing 1844, but I wrote 18,404. I'm guessing 1844. He began building a much larger brewery above the caves where they stored the beer. Mm-hmm. So they could still use it to store the beer, but then they built the brewery on top. Mm-hmm. So he was expanding.
Okay.
Paperclip. It became the largest brewery in St. Louis and then the largest outside of New York with a single owner, because he was the sole owner of this place. And then in 1878, he installed the first refrigeration in an American brewery, and it extended it to refrigerated rail cars, like railway cars, and that was the first beer that was nationwide because it had the refrigerated railway cars. And then eventually it was sold worldwide. So it had a pretty far reach.
Is it still sold now?
No.
Oh.
Well, you'll see. Well, I don't know. I mean, I have suspicions. In 1892, the William Lemp Brewing Company was founded instead of the Western Brewing Company.
Okay.
William was the president. His son, William Jr., was the vice president, and then William Jr.'s son, Louis, was the superintendent. I'm assuming Louis is pronounced Louis and not Louis, but it's spelled the same way. I'm basing that off of my One Direction knowledge. Billy Lemp was born on August 3rd, 1867, and although he studied brewing in college, which I didn't know you could do, or he just studied it in general, he studied brewing, maybe not in college. It was Frederick, who was born in 1873, that William hoped to take over the company eventually. So it wasn't, like, the son that they thought it was going to be. It was, the younger one.
Okay.
Or, yeah, the younger one. But unknown to the family, Frederick had a lot of health issues. Mm-hmm. Significant ones. Mm-hmm. In December 12th, 1901, Frederick died of heart failure due to complications of many diseases. And then William Sr. slowly started to decline after this, being heartbroken by his son's death. Mm. William Sr.'s best friend, Frederick Pabst, Pabst Beer.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah. Once that was his best friend, he died January 1st, 1904. And then on December 13th, 1904, William Lemp died by suicide by gunshot at 10:15 in the morning. Mm. So this guy just had a lot of, piling up shit that he... Yeah. So then after that, Billy Lemp took over the building, the brewing company, as president. Mm-hmm. And then Billy married this woman named Lillian Handlin, who was nicknamed the Lavender Lady because she wore purple all the time. And Ashley's favorite color is purple. And it just reminds me of, I think there was a TikTok that was like, you know what they say about
people?
Purple people is that everything is purple.
Yeah. It's like someone's like, I like blue. I like
there
green.
Was this girl I went
purple to- is my entire life.
There was this girl I went to elementary school. Her name was Christina, and she was the only other Christina. Mm-hmm. And her favorite color was purple, and she literally wore nothing but purple.
No, so I don't remember where I read this, but apparently the purple color can cause obsessive tendencies. So Prince was obsessed with purple. And, would paint...
It's a nice color.
It's a great color, but he would paint, hotel rooms that he was in purple.
That's too much.
That's too much. Also, you don't own that place. I had a friend whose So her name was Sandra Din, so we just called her Sandy D. But she was also obsessed with purple.
I mean, it could be a worse color. Did you find micropenis?
Yeah.
Oh, it is one word.
Aw, I can see why you'd think it that way then.
Micropenis.
Micropenis.
Okay.
Is that like Atlantis?
I hate you.
An Acropolis?
Anyway.
Yes!
There you go.
Anyway, back to my story about Lavender Lady. Mm-hmm. She was known because she loved the color purple, and she had lavender wardrobe. Not even like purple, lavender.
Oh.
And carriages were purple. And then I wrote, you know what they say about people whose favorite color is purple?
Mm-hmm.
Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lillian filed for divorce in 1908, and then she charged Billy with, I thought this said depression, desertion, cruel treatment, and other indignities.
Oh.
And she was granted custody of their only child, and Billy was given visitation rights. And then the Lemp Brewery suffered in the 1920s when Prohibition happened. And the brewery was shut down, and the trademark was sold, and the complex was sold to the International Shoe Company for $588,000.
Which in today's money is
many.
Many money.
Yeah. Because that was the 20s.
Mm.
So then Billy, on December 29th, 1922, shot himself in his office. So, Elsa Lemp Wright was the youngest child of William Sr. She married Thomas Wright, who was the president of Moore Jones Brass and Metal Company.
Moore Jones!
Moore Jones.
More cowbell!
They separated in 1918, and she filed for divorce in 1919. She cited damage to her mental and physical health, which I wish I could sue someone for that now.
Relate. Strongly.
Yeah. And then divorce was granted, but they soon reconciled and remarried in 1920. Okay. And then later that month, Elsa shot herself in bed at their house. Yeah. And then some suspect that their her death was a murder masked as suicide, which also sounds probable.
Suspicious.
Yeah.
I am suspicious.
Also, like, women don't typically shoot themselves, yeah. But also it's the 20s, so I don't know what kind of methods there were of...
I mean, arsenic. Mm. That's painful.
I mean, hanging, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then in 1939, William Lemp III licensed the name Lemp to Central Breweries of East St. Louis, and this increased the sales of Lemp beer. And then, this is a lot about beer.
I can tell.
It's beer family.
Okay.
Charles Lemp, who was the third son of William Sr., was the final Lemp to live in the mansion, and that started in 1929, and he left the brewing company in 1917. What was that?
I thought that was a fart. I think it's a motorcycle.
and he left it in 1917 and then went into banking and finance, and even dabbled in politics, which, if we know anything, that if you're into business things, you should not dabble into politics based on our current political situation. That's my rant. Okay. He never married.
Oh.
He lived with his dog in the mansion with two servants who were a married couple.
Oh.
April 1941, he sent a letter to a South St. Louis funeral home requesting that his remains should be taken by ambulance to the Missouri Creamery.
Creamery?
Crematory.
There you go.
Now I want ice cream.
Ooh.
Dead people ice
cream.
Ash ice cream. Ew. The crematory.
Crematorium?
It says crematory.
Crematory.
Crematory is what it's called, I guess.
Is
it? It says the Missouri Crematory. Crematory?
It definitely.
I think it's crematory.
Crematory. Was... What do you want it to be?
I thought it was.
The place where they burn dead bodies.
Now just coming up cemetery. No, crematory, you're right. I just thought it was longer.
Crematory.
Yeah.
I mean, I said creamery first, which
yeah.
is not right.
Now it's just coming up cemetery.
That his body should not be bathed, clothed, ew. Or changed. His ashes would be put in a wicker box and burned on his farm, and there would be no funeral or notice in the paper. He sent this in a letter. And then 8 years later, he shot himself in the head. And I read another article where first he killed his dog.
No!
He shot the dog and then himself, and they died together.
No!
Which is sad, but also then his dog wasn't alone when it died, which is sad.
Dog.
And his suicide note read, St. Louis, May 9th, 1949. In case I am found dead, blame it on no one but me. C.H.A. Lemp.
Short, sweet, to the point.
The final Lemp is Edwin Lemp, who is the only surviving son of William Lemp Sr. He was the youngest, and he worked in the brewery until 1913. He retired at Cragwald,
ew,
which is an estate that he built overlooking the Merrimack River. It had an observation tower and two servants' houses and a collection of birds, antelope, sheep, yaks, buffalo, and other animals.
Burbs!
Had burbs. After retirement, he dedicated himself to a lot of charitable causes, including, and primarily including, the St. Louis Zoo.
Mm.
In 1970, he died at the age of 90 years old, so he died of natural causes, but his final order to his caretakers were to destroy his art collection and his family heirlooms.
Why?
I don't know, which is, like, kind of, I don't, is, are they cursed?
Did they actually do that?
Yeah.
So, my mom was, like, she went to college to become, like, a heart and art, like, restorator. And that just makes me so upset. Like, all that, don't just give it to a museum, for the love of God.
But what if they're cursed objects and he knew it? Give them to Zach Baggins.
Give them to Zach Baggins!
But I'm wondering, like, because this is called, like, the
tomb. Until this man named Zach Baggins is born and then give it to him.
But, like, there is, like, things like the Slump family curse was, like, these people all were, like, plagued by, like, mm-hmm. death.
Yeah.
Like, suicidal thoughts, but then also, like, depression runs.
The entire art collection?
It says, burn his art collection and family heirlooms.
I mean, the family heirlooms, sure, but
the what if they were cursed objects?
The entire art collection?
Listen, he's dead. I don't know what you want me to tell you. He's dead. So, four members of the family, this is, like, a recap, and then we're gonna talk about the ghosties.
Okay.
Four members of the family died by suicide, which is a astronomically high percentage of family members to die by suicide.
Yes.
And many of the former residents of the mansion are apparently still haunting the mansion today. So in 1949, the mansion was sold off and converted into a boarding house. And it wasn't long after from starting to convert it from the mansion to the boarding house that the strange happenings were reported, which apparently if you restore or start, like, changing things in an old house, it irritates the spirits.
Ghosts don't like change.
Yeah, I relate. A couple of the sightings or, like, things that they hear are a boy who would ask for someone to play with him, which I don't trust children ghosts.
No, those are sometimes demons.
An unexplainable burning sensation, cold spots, slamming of doors, and other strange sounds. And that boarding home flopped, but then in 1975, it was bought by someone else and saved. And it isn't only the family members that haunt the mansion. Apparently, there is a monkey-faced boy.
No.
That is in the attic.
That's a demon.
So, apparently, this is the ghost of Billy Lemp's hidden son, which, I believe if you had a child who had physical abnormalities or mental abnormalities, you basically lock them away in the attic.
Yeah, or you sent which them to, like,
I have
away.
A theory.
Yeah.
I have a theory about this whole thing in a second. So, American Horror Story Murder House, in my mind, it is based off of this house.
That would make sense.
Because...
is that the one with the teeth?
Yeah. I mean, no, Thaddeus.
Mm.
Yeah, but in the attic of Constance Langdon had a son named Beauregard, who she kept in the attic because he was deformed. Then they ended up killing him. So I'm wondering, maybe.
Possibly.
That's sense. My thought process here, because I made that connection. Which a lot of my stories, I'm making a lot of connections to American Horror Story, but that's my favorite show. Mm-hmm. Well, it was, until they did Roanoke season, then I just ruined it. Now the mansion is a restaurant and inn owned by the Pointer family, and the house is in super bad condition when it was bought by Richard Pointer in 1975, And then again, when they started doing these renovations to fix it up, mm-hmm. the strange occurrences started again. Mm-hmm. And then people report feelings of being watched, loud bangs outside of the doorways, and then when you go to look and see if someone was there, no one's there. Mm-hmm. Which I think those ones can be explained. Mm-hmm. That's just my thought, because I have a giant Tupperware container, like, stack in my kitchen, and, you know, sometimes it just falls over, mm-hmm. and I think it's a ghost, but it's really just all the Tupperware that my mom gives me. And then a candle lit on its own, apparently. Mm. Piano keys will play by themselves. Again, I think that one can be explained away, because pianos are kind of done by weight.
Yeah.
So,
like, something happens.
I don't know. A mouse could have run across the keys. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
And then there are disembodied voices. And then I wrote horse hoof clip clop noises outside.
Clip clop.
That's what I wrote. So horsey feet. Nice. Outside. So that is the story.
Yay.
Of the Lemp family. I tried to keep it not as depressed. Mm-hmm. Other than the mentions of suicide.
Yeah.
And just mostly history.
I knew none of that.
Well, now you know.
Yay!
All right. Tell me what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the Men in Black. So, before I start, I always ask, what do you know about the Men in Black?
That if you see a, I almost said paranormal, but I think it's like extraterrestrial thing. Mm-hmm. That these Men in Black come and, like, zap your memory away of it with a little, like, flashy gun. Mm-hmm. And then they're always wearing black suits. Yeah. And that's my theory.
So I have a theory, because that's more aligned with the movie.
It's also Will Smith.
It is also Will Smith. Will Smith is great.
I love him.
So there apparently are many different types of Men in Black. And I'm going to go with the creepiest one, because it's what I believe, anyway. Okay. They usually show up in pairs, but sometimes they'll be alone. Very tall, big dudes, like 6'4", 300 pounds, massive. Neatly tailored black suits.
Okay. I'm on board with these men already.
Bald.
Oh.
No eyebrows.
That's even worse.
No eyelashes.
American Horror Story! Stop! Mm-hmm. In season 3, Coven, the guys who are the bodyguards and take the potential witches away, they are not bald, but they're wearing suits and they're very big, and mm-hmm. well, one's albino, so he looks like he has no eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was...
Yeah. It makes me think of... Did you ever watch Buffy?
Parts of it.
So there's... I think it's The Silence. Mm-hmm. And those guys, like, go around with their hands like this, and they're just floating, and they have the weird creepy smiles. That's what I think of.
Okay.
Okay. Smooth, white skin, almost like plastic.
Ew.
And then really, really red lips.
Okay.
Really red. I'm gonna get into that later, because
that's gross.
Yeah, it's gross. Also, the speech is very expressionless and monotone. Wrists and hands appear to have no joints.
Ew.
Yeah.
So are they aliens?
There's many theories. And also, a lot of them don't know how to be a human. It's like someone gave them a pamphlet.
It's like Black Eyed Children.
Yeah, but it'd be like, I don't know how a door works. Or a ballpoint pen. Like, just very random things. Or, like... So I listened to Last Podcast on the Left, and one of the encounters that happened was just, like, someone showed up, and they're like, may I have some salt? I need to take a pill. Like, fucking weird shit.
Right.
It's like, half of it's there, and half of it isn't.
There's a disconnect.
There is... Someone did not teach you... And you can't teach all the aspects of being human. Like, I can imagine you forgetting to say, oh, this is what a pen is. But, like, a door? Doors are very common. This is how you open a door. Other instances where, like, you're interacting with them, and, like, later they'll kind of, like, malfunction. Okay. So, like, they'll be walking.
There's, like, a glitch.
Yeah, they'll be, like, walking normally, and all of a sudden they get up to leave, and they're, like, weirdly crouching and, like, bending around and, like, not doing so hot, or
sounds like Ash when she gets up from sitting.
No,
accurate.
You know how she is. She's very limmy.
She's very tall.
Dude, just what if you're
get a black suit and a bald cap?
I can be Slenderman for Halloween.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, they kind of look like Slenderman.
Can I be another creepypasta that no one else is gonna know though? Because
Is the Babadook a creepypasta?
No.
Oh.
I'd like it's a children's horror, like a children's story.
I'd like to be the Babadook. That'd be fun.
I want to do, is it like Jeff the Killer? Is that one of them?
Jeff the Mongoose?
No, but if I got guinea pigs.
Aww, that'd be fun.
Yeah. I feel like it's Jeff the Killer.
Mm.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so, like, and other things they'll talk about where, like, they'll be talking and he'll be like, in an hour, I will need a glass of water. But very monotone and very weird robotic voice. And, like, all of a sudden they start getting, like, really red and, like, malfunctioning and getting really hot. And then you give them the water and they take this yellow pill and then they're back to normal. So sometimes I think they're cyborgs. Sometimes I think they're aliens. I don't know. Yeah.
I was right. It is Jeff the Killer.
Ah, no, I don't like that.
Anyway,
okay.
So, I should clear that search history.
So the main thing is that the men in black come to people who have seen UFOs or who research UFOs. And I don't know, like, because they don't go to everyone. I don't know what the cutoff is. Like, if you're getting real close to something, if, like, you're more believable than others, or, like...
You're not a crackhead.
Yeah. But, and they're... So, like, because there's this... Again, there's other levels of, like, are they part of the government? Are they aliens? Are they trickster gods?
You mean it's Loki?
Yeah, like, are they just fucking with people?
I need to Google some things.
I need to read some fan fiction. Hold on.
Don't shame me. I can pride myself that I have never once read a Loki fan fiction. Never once.
But what have you read?
I don't want to talk about it, but it has been... Honestly, I haven't read that many fan fictions.
Mm. I read a lot of Fred Weasley in my book. Like, a lot. Listen.
We've talked about how I wrote some fan fiction.
Yeah, but it was more like a script. And, you casted people that you wanted.
I casted people.
It wasn't...
But it technically was fan fiction.
But it wasn't like the... I never read, nor did I ever write, the ones where it's like... goes to a concert and reads a book and Harry Styles looks across the stage like, that girl's different.
I read alternate universe ones where they weren't One Direction.
Oh, like frat boy Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of that.
I mean...
But listen, it's research.
It's research.
Anyway,
so
if Loki's gonna show up, I'm all game.
Okay, so there are many
only
different...
a Tom Hiddleston form.
I don't think you want Tom Hiddleston bald, no eyebrows, no eyelashes, and like
he's a trickster, so he can shapeshift
and possibly no lips that he draws on with red lipstick.
Or is it Gabriel from Supernatural, the trickster?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he's actually just an angel. But...
Yeah, he just likes fucking with shit.
He's okay.
Yeah, so like. I don't know what the cutoff is, like, if they go to people who they can easily mess with.
Yeah.
Or, like, people that other people will not believe already. Or, like, people who are more, like, open to it. Like there's certain people, like, even you could literally put an alien in front of them and they'd be like, that's not real. Or I didn't see that. Yeah. And other people who are more open to it and, like, will believe it wholeheartedly. Do they go to those people because they're more of a threat?
So the people that are more gullible.
Yeah.
Basically, not in a bad way, but
more open to the idea that these exist. Yes. Which I'm not saying UFOs don't exist. I think this universe is too large for something to not be there. Whether it's this stuff, I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway,
our feet keep touching. I'm really upset.
That
about
was the
it.
First time our feet
no, it was
touched.
The second time.
I don't remember the first time.
Good,
now I'm very upset. It was like the ball of my foot.
Our toes touched.
I saw someone on TikTok draw a sticker, but it was like toes like holding hands
Stop.
Like this, and I wanted to cry.
Okay. Go right. on.
So I'm gonna go through a couple encounters that I got off BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Oh, okay. Tell me.
So first one is the first recorded encounter. His name is Ronald Dahl in 1947. Dahl said he saw some donut-shaped objects in the sky, as you do. One broke apart and fell out of the sky, and killed his dog and injured his son. Sad.
Okay.
Dahl states he took some photos, but they were later fogged over by a man in black. So the man in black visited him, said, show me the photos, and made them all blurry so no one could look at them. Second is Robert Richardson in Toledo, Ohio. I think this was like early 60s. Richardson said he actually collided with a UFO while driving. Why a UFO was that low to the ground? No idea.
Looking for beans.
Guys, are these the motherboards? So, on impact with the UFO, it vanished, but it possibly left a chunk of metal behind.
Like so, Roswell.
Yeah. Kinda. So, Richardson took the metal home, and a week later, Richardson was visited by two men in black suits who wanted that metal. Richardson said he sent it off to be tested, and the men in black got very angry and threatening and said, if you want your wife to stay as pretty as she is, you better get the metal back.
Okay, I have follow-up questions when you're done with these stories.
We can do the follow-up questions.
If this is true, in my story of Roswell, these men in black are never mentioned.
Yeah.
And that is probably one of the biggest conspiracy theories or possible happenings for a UFO. So, why?
At the end, I'm going to go over all the things that these things might possibly be.
Okay.
Okay, third. Jack Robinson, New Jersey, 1968. He was a UFO researcher. He and his wife claimed that they were terrorized by a man in black who would stand across the street from their apartment. Just stand there and watch them.
I could do without that.
Occasionally, he said it appeared their apartment had been rummaged through. Okay. And one of their friends managed to get a picture of him. I'll show you the picture. It's literally just a man in a suit, like, kind of, like, hiding in between, like, you know, like, those doorways that, like, they're a little sunken in. He's, like, hiding in there. It's not great. Fourth, and this is kind of the bigger one. This one has the creepy mouth stuff that I don't like. Yeah. Dr. Robert Hopkins, this was in Maine, September 11th, 1976. He was also researching UFOs. He was also a doctor who did, like, hypnotism.
Okay.
So a man called him and said he was from the New Jersey UFO organization. He asked if he could come over to Dr. Hopkins' house and talk about research. He also asked if he was alone. He said yes and said, come on by. As soon as he hung up the phone and went to turn on his porch lights, the dude was coming up the stairs. This is in a time before cell phones. There were no phone booths around and no car phones.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. But so he was outside. He was talking about one of his patients and getting, like, really involved in this one patient's, like, hypnotism and stuff, which was weird. Then he started talking about the contents of his pockets and knew everything that was in his pockets. And he said, pull out the coin in your pocket. And I really want to do the voice, but I'm not going to. And it was a penny. And he's like, stare at the penny. And it turned silver, and then it turned blue, and then it disappeared.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, there was a man who died who's also a researcher that Dr. Hopkins knew of, and the man who was a man in black dressed in the suit, all nine yards, the gross pale skin and no hair, not to say that anyone who is pale with no hair is gross, but, like, we'll get to the mouth part that makes it gross, that he did the same thing to the coin that he did to this man with his heart. So turned it silver, turned it blue, and made it disappear. Turns out he died of a brain aneurysm, but Dr. Hopkins didn't know that.
Okay.
Whatever. While they were talking, he kept, like, wiping his mouth. And this is the one with the really red lips. Mm-hmm. And he would wipe away the mouth. So he literally just had a black hole.
So it was, like, fake drawn lips.
Yeah, it's like, they tried to make a human, and they're like, oh, well, let's give a lot of emphasis to these lips and take some really red lipstick.
Some Mac Ruby Roo.
Yes, and just go around. So he'd be like, I'm sorry, there's something wrong with my mouth. And, like, keep, like, reapplying lipstick as he keep, like, wiping it off.
That's disgusting.
That's so gross. It makes me think of a lamprey.
What's that?
They're these weird, it's like a giant leechy eel thing. They're disgusting. Hold on. I think it's lamprey. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like those. Those are gross. But that's what it made me think of. Eh. Okay. Okay, they're also known to have crazy, stupid, superhuman strength. There's a story where they infiltrated an office space and were just somehow looked like they were working there, and one almost fell over and was leaning up against a metal filing cabinet to steady himself, and perfect, like, half an inch indents of his fingers were in the metal cabinet.
All right, Hulk.
Yeah. And by the time people, like, were like, who the hell are these guys, and called the FBI, they were gone. FBI. The FBI. They were gone.
Ew.
Yeah, that's weird.
Can you just call the FBI?
I mean,
that's a call center I wouldn't mind working at.
Yeah, I feel like you can. You have to. They get tips and stuff all the time.
Can I work at the FBI call center?
Let's look that up later.
If so,
hire us.
Just me.
Why? I want to get out of here too.
Okay. We already work. We have call center experience. It's medical, but I mean, we still have to deal with idiots, so.
Listen, I've been through some weird stuff. You ever try to keep a horse out of an office?
True. We've talked about it.
Yeah. And this is my last one, and I want to do a full story on this Holman's family, because apparently they're very into paranormal and very, like, sensitive to things. Dan Aykroyd, who's one of the Ghostbusters.
Yes, I listened to a podcast where they talked about him.
Mm-hmm. So January 2002 in New York, he sold a TV show that was going to be called Out There, which was going to talk about all the UFOs and aliens and stuff. And I wish they made it because it sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
While conducting interviews about the show, Dan stepped outside for a break and he saw a man in a black Ford sedan suddenly appear. Like, the car and the man just poof out of nowhere.
Okay.
And a large man stepped out of the car and gave him, like, this dirty look. And then Dan looked away for a second and then he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dan went back inside. He got a call that the show was canceled and all production had to stop. No explanation why. Suspicious.
Yeah.
So as I said before, there's a lot of theories of what these things are. One of them is that they actually work for the government, that they are recruited aliens to keep alien issues out of the public, that there are aliens that are above the government that have come down to keep the issues out of the public. Sometimes people think they're robots, some people think they're, like, brainwashed weird humanoid people. Some people think they're trickster gods who just like to fuck with people. Some people think they're demons, which, like,
okay,
that mouth thing's weird. And some people think they're tulfas, which I think that's what it is. Tulpa. Yes. So a tulpa is a concept in mysticism. This is straight off of Google. And the paranormal of being an object which is created through spiritual or mental powers. So it's like enough people think about it that it exists.
Like Bigfoot.
Or Slenderman.
Mm-hmm.
And like this common consciousness, like,
it's like a form. There's enough energy being put into it that energy is created. Yes.
So that could explain why, like,
which doesn't make sense, but also makes
They come into people's consciousness and then people start to see them and then they become real, which could explain the whole Roswell thing where they're not real.
I kind of get it, but also I don't get it.
Yeah. So a lot of people think they're just tulpas and that people have just made this up. And now,
if I don't believe in Men in Black, are they going to come and get me?
No, because you don't believe.
I believe in spookies and aliens, but I don't know if I believe the Men in Black thing. Because if it's not Loki or Will Smith coming to get me, I don't want it.
Yeah, and I also have a theory that they made these Men in Black movies because when you Google Men in Black, that's the first thing that comes up. And even when you Google Men in Black conspiracy, not a lot happens.
Oh.
It's like there's not, like, it's the same information over and over again. There's nothing really new. So I highly recommend listening to last podcast on the left about it, because somehow they got everything and it's amazing and wonderful. But yeah, it was really hard to actually just find, like, just stuff on them, like where they originated and what happened. It was just like all of a sudden this one guy in 47 got visited by a man in black and they took his photos.
Fascinating.
Yes. That's the Men in Black. Don't research aliens. They'll come and get you in your sleep.
But if it's Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, if it's Tom Hiddleston.
I'm going to research aliens all night.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's Will Smith. Especially if it's Will Smith.
He's married, isn't he?
Yeah. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Tom Hiddleston's not married.
No, he's not.
I'm a free lady.
Yes.
He's a free man.
Mm-hmm. Tom Hiddleston, if you ever listen to this. Hi.
Hello.
How are you? How's the dog? His name's Bobby, right?
I don't remember.
Bobby.
All right. That's it.
That's all we did.
Now we're tired.
It's really hot. I wore sweatpants, and it's like 80-something outside.
All right, say your thing.
Okay. Be safe, have fun, make some new friends. I hope you learn something new, and come back here. Bye.
Bye.